The date was 2007. Place was St. Paul's Cathedral in London, England. The church began readying itself for its 707th anniversary. And then, as they were getting prepared, well, basically calamity struck. The church bell ringer fell deathly ill. And so the pastor got on the phone and he called one of their sister churches and asked if they could send over their bell ringer to come and ring the bells in honor of their 707th anniversary. And their bell tower at St. Paul's Cathedral is about twice the height of the other bell tower. And the bell ringer came over and he was about twice the size of the other bell ringer. And the pastor and the bell ringer went up the stairs. Round and round they went, 150 feet up. And by the time the guy got up there, he looked a lot like me, huffing and puffing. And just, oh my goodness. And he reaches out and he missed the railing and his face just smacks right into the biggest bell and there's this huge bong. And he bounces off of it and takes another step backwards. Well, you can see where this is going. And down the stairs, he starts tumbling. And the pastor's just mortified. And about halfway down, he finally catches up to this poor bell ringer who is, thankfully, all he's got is just kind of bruises. But he says, you know what, I'm going to call an ambulance anyways just to make sure, just to check you out. That was a horrible fall. Your nose is bleeding. And so when the paramedics show up, the paramedics say, do you know this man's name? And the pastor looks at him and goes, no, but his face sure rings a bell. Yeah. I'll be honest, that really didn't happen. But when someone says your name, you really hope that good things come to their mind. That's why it hurts so much when someone takes your name through the mud or attributes things to you that you've never said or done. I'm actually reminded of Proverbs chapter 22, which says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Because our name also carries with it our reputation. All you need to do is hear the name Judas Iscariot, Hitler, Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Why does everybody laugh at that one? And sometimes strong negative feelings come out from that. BC Lions. And some names make us laugh. Now, there's a particular musician who named his children weird names. His name was Frank, and so he decided to name his son Dweezil Zappa, and his daughter Moon Unit Zappa, and his other daughter Divine Muffin Zappa. What is this guy thinking? They just make us laugh. They make us shake our heads and go, what are you thinking? Some people are assigned nicknames like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, or Octomom. Okay, sure. So names are a big deal, aren't they? We search for just the right names for our children. Have you ever noticed that celebrities seem to go out of their way to choose names that are ridiculously unusual? Well, I found some ridiculously unusual celebrity names. Names like Dandelion, Apple, North, Trixabelle, Germajesty, and Ocean. I am so glad my parents named me Dave. See, companies know that their names are important as well. They even put trademarks on them so you can't use it wrongly. One of my favorite hair salons in Nairobi, it's got the best name of every hair salon in all the world, in my opinion, It's called curl up and die. It's awesome because I was there in 2004 and I still remember it. You know, they enforce copyrights and trademarks because the companies, they don't want anyone infringing on their name. And what you call God is a big deal. It's a big deal to him as his name reflects his nature. And he has essentially spent eternity building his name with care. We could say that his name is copyright protected. And I show respect to him, and I treat his name with the utmost care and respect. 2 weeks ago, we learned that God wants to be everything in our life. And last week, we discovered how we worship God is extremely important. Today, we're going to see how essential it is to watch our mouths because God's glorious name is not to be taken into the gutter. So let's review our commandments as we've been learning them, and we're going to keep learning them this summer. So get our fingers ready. You guys ready? Here we go. Now, I recognize that some of you are new here, and you haven't seen these before. So that's all right. We're going to go through them slowly. Everybody will get them together. I'm hoping by September, we can do all 10. Are you guys ready? One finger. One God. Bend that one over. No idols. Do not bow before idols. Three fingers. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Four fingers. Take a nap because it's the Sabbath rest. Five fingers over our hearts to honor our mother and our father. Six. Don't murder. Seven. Wrap it around that ring finger. No adultery. And we'll add one more today. Five fingers and three. Don't steal. Don't steal those fingers. Okay? Don't steal. Now I want to start today doing a little bit of interpretation. We'll look at what this command means. And then we'll end up with what it means to us. Okay? So today I'm going to use something a little different. I'm going to go with the New American Standard Version. I usually throw the NIV up there, and it's a good translation. We'll talk about it in a second. But the NIV is just so literal, and it's great for this verse. And I want to break it down into a few phrases. But the verse is this. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Now the first phrase is, you shall not take. And like the first two commandments, it starts with a very strong negative, that absolutely do not do what I'm about to tell you. Never would be a great translation. Never take. It's just this absolute. And this word take means to lift, to carry, to take up, to bear, and to raise. So never lift up the Lord's name. Now the next phrase is the name of the Lord your God. So never lift up. And in the Bible, a name was not only an identification, but an actual identity. It represented one's entire reputation. It's the essence of who that person is. And we can say that a name stood for the nature of and the essence of that person. To know someone's name is the first step in beginning a relationship. When you look back in Exodus 20, verse 2, we see that God is declaring who he is. He says, I am the Lord your God. And in verse 5, for I, the Lord your God. And the first name in verse 7 is Yahweh. Yahweh, which means I am who I am. And for those who are of the scholarly pursuit, they call this the Tetragrammaton, which in Hebrew is the, it only has four consonants. It looks like this, YHWH. It's translated as Lord. And in your Bibles, if you look at your translations, it should have Lord in capital letters, because it's Yahweh. It's used 6,500 times in the scriptures. It carries with it the concept of God being the covenant keeper God. And he introduced himself by this name to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3. And it says, the name of the Lord, Yahweh, and the second name, your God, is the word Elohim, which refers to the one supreme creator and faithful God. And God invites us to call him by name, and we can find at least 800 different names for God in the Bible. Now, some of you may remember our 2015 series on the names of God. Does anybody still have your bookmark? Yeah? Awesome. You might notice it matches the cover of our bulletin. Ancient scribes have feared misusing God's name so that when they came to Yahweh, they would actually go and take a bath, put on clean clothes, sharpen their pen, and start fresh every time they were about to write the name Yahweh. Every time they were about to write the name for God. And they would leave out the vowels, and that has a lot to do with the Hebrew, but this word became the word Jehovah. And finally, as we've translated it, as Lord. And in the Jewish culture, only the high priest could utter the name and only on one day a year, on the Day of Atonement. And Orthodox Jews today, they don't write out the name of God. When we were in Israel, this is how it's written out. Dash, that's the word. Dash G, that's it. They don't even write out the whole name because they look at it as so sacred. Let me just say that while this shows the reverence for God that is due his name, we are invited throughout the scriptures to call him by name. God does not forbid the use of his name, but he forbids the misuse of his name. Even the beautiful blessing found in Numbers chapter 6 involved God putting his name on his people's lips. Yahweh, bless you and keep you. Yahweh, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh, turn his face towards you and give you peace so that they will put my name on the Israelites. And I will bless them. The name of the Lord your God. Now the next phrase is in vain. And the word vain means empty and useless, nothingness, wastedness, worthless, falsely. And when we take God's name in vain, when we use it in a casual and careless way, it's tantamount to basically saying, your name is worth nothing to me. You and your name are garbage. Or to give it a more literal translation, this from the beginning, never lift up the name of the Lord your God for nothing. Now this last phrase is a harsh phrase. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. And this phrase refers to being made clean or to lay bare. And this is a threat attached to the third commandment because God wants us to know how serious he is about his name. In Leviticus chapter 24, we read about a dispute between two people. And as they fought, one called out a curse against God. He blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed, according to verse 11 in Leviticus. And the people who heard this were appalled, and they dragged him before Moses. And it says that the people stoned him. And Moses said, whoever blasphemes in the name of the Lord will surely be put to death. Because God says he will not go unpunished. Now the opposite of trivializing God's name is to give him the weightiness that he deserves. And when Jesus taught his followers to pray, the first thing he says is what? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Right? God will not allow his name to be misused, even though some of us seem to get away with it, at least for now. Now, for the rest of our time together this morning, I want us to figure out how this really applies to us. Because we all understand we're not supposed to do certain things, right? But how does this command affect our lives and our lips? And it's common to think about that this command just has to do with cursing or swearing. And it does apply to that. But it goes much deeper than that. You see, that's why the NIV translation uses the phrase, misuse the name of the Lord your God, rather than take the name of the Lord in vain. For us to really understand this command, I think we need to look at the application of it. Because if you see God's name, and you see that it can be taken in vain, even when his name is not even mentioned. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy breaks the third commandment and gives God's name a bad reputation. I profane the name of the Lord when my life does not match the majesty of his. Jesus had some pretty harsh words for hypocrites because while they claimed God's name, their lives did not match up to it. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. See, claiming to be a Christian and not living like one is a dangerous deal. Titus 1 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. That's harsh. And we're prone to become hypocrites when we live in conflict with one another as Christians and we refuse to resolve it. When we have an apathetic spirit towards God that's hypocritical. When we don't give God our time, our talents, and our treasures, it's hypocritical. When we allow bitterness to grow towards God and towards others. When we break vows or promises, these are hypocritical. Even though we may not have said God's name, we are acting in hypocrisy and therefore profaning his reputation, his name. You see, North American churches sadly are full of casual Christians. Casual Christianity is faith in moderation. It allows them to feel righteous without having to prioritize their faith. Taking up the name of a Christian is a big deal. It's a big deal because it means that we are little Christs. And when we are called Christians, it means that we are called by Christ's name to follow him and represent him to a watching world. And so let's watch our lives so that we don't take God's name in vain. So how we act and what we do without even speaking can break this commandment. So we need to be careful. But we also need to watch our lips.
Yeah, I can see it.
My bottom one, at least. Top one's covered by a mustache, so it's harder to see. But how do we watch our lips? Well, profanity can be understood as taking lightly that which ought to be taken seriously. To profane is to treat something sacred with neglect or disrespect. And there are lots of ways we do this. First one is just flat out blasphemy. Webster defines it this way: the act of insulting or showing contempt or lack of reverence for God. Isaiah 52 says, "And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed." That's what Isaiah wrote. Let's not fall into that category. That one's the easiest not to do. Don't outright blaspheme God. Okay, we're all good on that one? Excellent. The next one is common cursing. Well, this one's a little bit harder. When we tell someone to, pardon me, go to hell, we're sending them to a place that they'll never get out of. Why would we ever want to call down divine damnation on anyone? Isn't our job as Christians to share the good news of Jesus Christ so that they won't be damned? So plain old common cursing, and I'm not going to get into let's define each word and whether this is a curse or this is not. We all know what they are. We all know what cursing is. Just don't do it. Now here's one that we probably don't realize. It's called prayer pausing. Sometimes we insert the name of God into our prayers like we use the word or as a comma. And we're really not meaning to be disrespectful, but when you say Lord 12 times in 25 words, you're using it casually. You're not really thinking about what you're saying. And God's name is not to be a filler in our prayers. Jesus said not to keep on babbling like the pagans do when we pray. So when we pray, don't use God as a comma. Don't use Lord as a comma or his name as a comma. It's not honoring. If I were to have a conversation with Brandon, and Brandon, on the other day, Brandon, it would end up driving you crazy, wouldn't it? Same thing with God. Let's not use it as a comma or an or a filler. Because that leads us into the fourth one of careless conversations. Some of us aren't technically swearing or cussing because we don't think anything of adding God's name to our conversations. In fact, this week, I watched someone spill coffee and use the F word, followed by, "Oops, Jesus' name, I'm in a church." Wow. You apologized for the F word, but then used his name in vain without even thinking of it, recognizing that you're in a church, and apparently that makes it even more bad. Yeah, I love the grammar, I know it. But our conversations are not just verbal anymore. It includes the digital ones. Those three little letters that drive me crazy. OMG. Your lips may not be saying it. Your lips may be saying that he is God, but the truth is he isn't if you are using it this casually. Please be careful what you say and what you text. Avoid irreverent titles for God. You see, this week, someone asked me to fix the weather because I have an in with the big guy. My in is just as good as yours. God is not the big guy. He's not the man upstairs. He's not a big daddy up in heaven. He's not the old man. He's not whatever phrase you want it. He's so much more than someone who must be just sitting there on a throne surrounded by clouds watching us. I'd also like to point out that Jesus' middle name is not begin with the letter H. And we should never refer to other things as being holy other than God himself, because cows and mackerels and whatever else is never going to be holy. You see, the words like holy and awesome, glorious, amazing, they should be reserved for God alone. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." On Wednesday, we had our Bible study wind-up barbecue, and it was not awesome. It was not even amazing. However, it was delicious. Right? We can do it. We just need to stop and think, because God is awesome. My burger was delicious. And the best way to stop profaning is to start praising. Get lost in the magnitude of his majesty, and you may find yourself worshiping God instead of treating it as worthless. And sadly, we live in a society that is permeated with profanity. Just watch TV. It's perfectly fine to use the Lord's name in vain, but if you wanted to use some other swear word, they bleep that out. And so we should not be surprised when sinners sin. But as believers, we need to watch our words and our attitudes and our actions. Colossians says, "Be wise in the ways you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." We need to point people to Jesus Christ. And bad language just shows us how far away someone is from God. But it also proves the existence of God. Otherwise, they wouldn't use his name so much. Folks, we're called to live the commands, but we can't. But Jesus did. And when we receive him, he gives us the power to live them out. But first, we need a new heart, because Jesus tells us in Matthew 15, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." And what this means is that what's down in the well comes out in the bucket, right? We need a new name as well. Revelation 2 says, "I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." And so when we have a new heart and we have a new name that comes with a new nature, because Corinthians says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." This is what God wants for us. And the name of Jesus is a big deal. Because according to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by two men by which we must be saved." Philippians 2, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Folks, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Challenge you this week. Can you do it? Can you go the entire week by bringing glory to his name, not breaking this commandment? Yeah, we're going to live in a world where people do it all the time around us. But we need to point them to Jesus. We can't hold the non-Christian to the same standard that we ourselves must live. But once we point them to Jesus and they become, then we can. But if your fellow brother or sister in Christ breaks this one, call them on it. Call them on it. Say, hey, let's watch our mouths. Let's keep the Lord's name glorious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for your name. For your name is wonderful. Your name is glorious. Your name is awesome and majestic. Father, I pray that you would help us this week to avoid the hypocrisy, to avoid outright blasphemy, to avoid using irreverent titles for you, for not being careless in our conversations. Father, help us to have the utmost respect for you, our God. This we pray in your precious name. Amen.